In the name of Jesus, amen. So yesterday morning, I was returning home, finishing up the sermon for today. I was playing on the floor with my four-year-old son, Matthias, playing no-stress chess. And he said, well, what were you doing at church early in the morning? It was like 5:30 in the morning. I said, I was writing my sermon. And he's like, well, what's your sermon about? I said, the parable of the barren fig tree. He said, ooh, is that spooky? And I said, well, yes, it is. It is spooky. It's hard. And this is a sermon that did not write itself, but nonetheless must be said. For to illustrate the repentant life, Jesus tells us a parable. A man plants a fig tree in his vineyard. He loves figs, and he waits until the tree finally reaches its maturity, and then excitedly he comes like a child coming down from Christmas morning seeking its delicious fruit. But to his dismay, he finds none. He lets a year go by, and he comes back again in search of its succulent treasures. Nothing. He lets another year go by. Nothing. And another. Nothing. By this time, you know what? He's fed up. He calls to the vine dresser. Vine dresser, come here. Look, for 3 years now, I have been coming seeking fruit off this fig tree. And I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? Certainly the owner of the vineyard can probably get another fig tree with perhaps better potential. Or he can just cut it down and have more room in his vineyard and make more money. So cut it down. Make it a wine holder or a bookshelf or a rocking chair. I don't know. I don't care. Just get it out of my sight. Cut it down. And then there are life's mysterious tragedies. The slaughter of the Galileans in the temple and the falling of the tower in Siloam. And these always call forth repentance. Never is that time a time to point fingers, to blame, to draw lines of guilt. Never is it a green light to search endlessly for that answer to that nagging, unknowable why. And even if we were to uncover the missing puzzle piece, it wouldn't really change reality. What's done is done. No amount of I am sorry will fix it. And contrary to conventional wisdom these days, you wouldn't sleep any better if you knew the answer either. Restless is our flesh in this fallen and fitful life. It's in our flesh, though, to do these things, to draw lines, to do everything that we can to examine our neighbor and our God on the cold slab of the coroner's table, but not ourselves. Life's tragedies, its sin, its brokenness, its failure, its fracturedness, no matter what its color or shade is, no matter what its depth or density is, it is always a call to repentance, to self-examination. For it is not just the Lenten shade of the church year that calls us to self-examination, to confess our own most grievous faults. It's everything. I'd like to think that God only looks at appearance, that his eyes are squarely fixed on the way things look and feel from the outside, but he isn't. He doesn't care about looks. He cares about fruit. He wants fruit. So I start scanning my life for fruit. And all I see is a barren fig tree. I want my wife and children to know that I love them, yet I can be often found retreating into a technological device or a book. There are so many things that pastors want to do and cultivate in their parishes. And yet I'm oftentimes not the best people person. I might not say much, they might not say much. Perhaps they leave, they don't come back, and perhaps the inactive list gets longer. I'm often deluded into thinking that God doesn't care about fruit. He doesn't see all this, that He doesn't see the mask that I wear, the smiles and the conversations that are forced out of social convention, the incriminating thoughts that flow through my mind, my brain, the worry that I've failed my family or my parish in their greatest times of need. For we want to be a child of God, of whom He joys in being our Heavenly Father, not a failure whom He wants to cut down. Yet all I see is a barren fig tree, bereft of any fruit. Now before you think or speak another word, before you say I'm being too harsh on myself, as some told me already, before you think that your pastor's having a breakdown, rest assured I'm not. I'm actually fully in my mind. Because this is simply a barren tree confessing its barrenness. This is what we call self-examination. You can try it now. Consider for a moment your own barren and fruitless limbs. What about your marriage, your family, your job, your congregation, your life? What about it is barren without any fruit, ready to be cut down? Why is it that most of what you do fails? Why is it that when we step into a situation and you attempt to do something good, by your anger or passive aggressiveness, you make it worse? Why does fruit only seem to grow in the church on Christmas and Easter? Where are the young children? Where are the young families? Where are your children? Where are your grandchildren? Why aren't the pews full? And why isn't the collection plate overflowing? There's enough barrenness to go around for all of us. There's enough fruitless failures for every single one of us. Cut it down. Wait just a minute. Hold it. Put that axe down. The vine dresser steps in, and he asks the owner of the vineyard for clemency. He wants time. The owner's probably like, time for what? It's been 3 years, no fruit. But the vine dresser, he doesn't care. He doesn't care how long it's been. It could be 80 years or 100 years. He wants to tend it. If you read his words in the English, you will miss completely the mercy of this parable. Worse yet, you will often, and countless commentators do this, turn repentance into your work, trying not to fall off the wagon for the umpteenth time, or you think that in a futile attempt, you can pacify the owner of the vineyard by saying, I will bear fruit, I will bear fruit. Don't cut me down. But you can't. The vine dresser literally says, Kyrie aphes auton. Lord, leave it, or Lord, forgive it. The vine dresser is Jesus. And Jesus is at the center of this parable, telling the owner of the vineyard, that is God the Father, to forgive this barren fig tree. That's what I call mercy. That's what I call grace. Jesus intercedes for us. He wants to work for us. He wants to feed us and care for us. He wants to love us, and He wants His fruit to be our fruit. He loves the sweet-smelling aroma of self-examination, of confession, of repentance. He loves barren fig trees. He loves failures. He loves sinners. And so it is no surprise then that there's actually another tree in this parable, a seemingly barren yet fruitful, life-giving tree. For in the jaws of crucifixion and in the grip of our failure, our sin, our death, Jesus would say to His Father, Pater aphes auton. It's the same word. Father, forgive them. It's almost identical to the vine dresser's words to the Heavenly Father, to the owner of the vineyard. Father, leave them. Lord, forgive it. Jesus says to his Father, let my fruit be their fruit, and my death be their budding forever fruitful life. And so what happens? The owner of the vineyard relents. And he does because the vine dresser is tending this helpless and barren fig tree with his mercy and love, his flesh and his blood. The owner of the vineyard will not cut us down for all our failures, for our barrenness, for he will hear the plea of the vine dresser. Father, leave them. Father, forgive them. And he does. As long as Christ is doing his work, as long as he uproots our sin of barrenness and plants us anew in his forgiveness, therein you and I live, through the tilling and the growing through Christ. Now, if we want more people in the church so we can have more children, if we want more young families, if we want more people in the church simply because we want the numbers, then we had better just let the owner do what he said he wanted to do and cut us down. Because we are simply not going to do that of our own strength, no matter how much we desire it. For there is only one source of nutrients, one root that provides the life of the church, and that one reality is that vine dresser. That is Jesus. The vine dresser steps into our failed life to do the one thing and only thing that he wants to do, to tend us barren fig trees, to comfort sinners with his mercy and his forgiveness. And there, and only there, is fruit born. You see, the repentant life is a life lived in and by the vine dresser, the Christ. You and I will never be able to hold off God's judgment of our sin, the cutting down of our barren and broken life. What our hands have done, they have done. We cannot erase the past. No amount of I am sorry or desires of wanting to do better will make us better. Yet the wonderful mercy is this. In the very moment that the owner of the vineyard says, cut it down, the vine dresser is stopping him mid-sentence and saying, Father, leave it, forgive it. And the rest, and there rests the peace of sinners and failures like you and me. The barren fig tree is declared apart from the roots, a blossoming and fruitful tree, pleasing to the eye of the owner of the vineyard simply because the vine dresser has taken care of it. And when he returns, when the owner returns, he will find his precious fruit, those succulent treasures, for they have been prepared and grown for him by the life and death of the vine dresser of the Christ, his Son, our Savior, Mediator, and Sacrificial Lamb. So I can show you a place where all kinds of tragedies and all kinds of failures and all kinds of barrenness and death and broken people die. I can show you a place where the vine dresser turned the sod of our life and parted our life from death, the dirt dripping from the shovel's blade dropping like blood to a chalice of a new and greater testament. You will know how the vine dresser mixed in the manure of our sad and barren life. For the aroma of repentance is sweet smelling to the owner of the vineyard. The vine dresser tending the barren tree, its thirsty roots soaking in the blood that falls from his thorn-encircled brow. And you are to drink deeply of this blood, and by it you are to know that your vine dresser goes for you, preparing an eternal vineyard for you, trees that would forever blossom by his sacrificial love. And when you finally get there in that eternal vineyard, there will sit his spade, and it will lean against his glorious throne, and it will have as a shape a cross. For the vine dresser was slain, and now he is risen for you barren fig trees, to plant you anew and to raise you anew on a most glorious Easter morn. In the name of Jesus, amen.